everyone. Welcome to Girlfight episode 52. I'm your host for the day, Megan Sullivan, and I am joined by Christine Steimer.
Hello.
Stephanie Lee.
Yo.
And we have a surprise guest, Walter Lopez.
Yes.
He's wearing a wig.
I'm wearing a wig. Yes, I'm wearing a wig.
Yes, he
that
is.
Was your requirement for being on Girlfight.
That was the only way you could get into our Girlfight club is to wear a wig and a dress.
Mm-hmm. Sure. How does it feel?
Feels great. I feel liberated.
I like it. Embrace your feminine side. That's what I say. All right. So before we get started, just a couple of quick housekeeping items. Number one, apologies for the late episode 51. We kind of hit a snag on Friday uploading it, and so we weren't able to upload it until Tuesday. So it is up on the site now, and it's our introduction to Naomi and Tina. So please listen out for that. And we will be announcing the winner of the PS Move next week. So also listen up for that. Also, it's a couple of weeks away still, but San Diego Comic-Con is coming up and some of the IGN editors will be present. Stephanie, I think I saw a Twitter
from
you. You're
going
to be there?
I'm going there for fun, for pleasure.
Ooh, are you going to dress up?
No, I haven't gotten to cosplay yet, but I do plan on maybe trying it out next year, you know, when I start on my costume now.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it takes a while.
Yeah.
But if you to do a good one anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. If you were going to dress up, though, who would you dress up as?
I was actually thinking of a character from Guilty Gear, Jan.
Oh, wow.
Wow.
Yeah. I mean, I was trying to find a female fighter with, like, some crazy thunder thighs, because the joke...
Chun-Li wasn't good enough?
Well, because, see, Chun-Li is, like, the
typical yeah.
kind of
everyone's
cosplay.
Chun-Li.
Everyone's Chun-Li, exactly.
Even men are Chun-Li.
Yeah, I've seen that. It's pretty amazing.
But the joke among my circle of friends is that, like, I have thunder thighs that can crush skulls. So...
What?
Wow.
Well, now I want to see you crush something with your thighs.
Yeah. Pixar didn't happen.
Well, I have tried to crush walnuts, but that didn't
work out. What about a watermelon? I'm just thinking out loud here.
That's actually in the works. Did I show you that video, too?
No.
Oh,
is there a video?
There are videos of women crushing watermelons.
Wow.
It sounds like a fetish thing.
Yes, yeah, it
definitely is. It sounds like right out of Japan.
It sounds like a
You
Photoshop.
Were the one that told me about crushing puppies, too. What? That was terrible.
What is that?
Someone else told me about it. It's not bad. I looked it up myself. Okay.
It's not bad? What do you mean it's not bad? They killed them.
Did I say it's not bad?
I thought you said that.
No,
maybe I misheard you.
I don't think I said that, but I definitely don't think it's a good thing.
No.
Wow. Wow. Don't even know.
This is a great tangent, by the way.
Yeah.
Maybe you should explain a little more so people don't think that we're...
Yeah,
no,
please
you should
explain.
As is. Okay, and challenge readers to submit Photoshop
go Google
images.
Don't Google that.
The puppy crushing, but Google the girl crushing watermelon. That it's actually...
It's safer to crush a watermelon than a puppy.
I don't know if it's safe for work, though.
It's better.
Crushing the watermelon?
Yeah, because the girl's actually just wearing a G-string.
Ah.
Right?
But she's covered. There's a string there supporting
stuff.
There's
a string.
Supporting what exactly?
I don't know.
Nice.
Nothing.
Wow.
But yes, I will be at Comic-Con.
And Walter, are you going?
I'm going to Comic-Con dressed as Stephanie.
Awesome.
Nice.
Dressed as a thunder thigh watermelon crushing
female. Didn't say I was going as... Well, I guess that's true.
Yeah,
I don't know.
It could happen.
I'll be the dude with
the water. I want some pictures though.
That's gonna be hard to walk around the convention center.
I can do it. Okay. I was in the army. I'm trained for this.
Crushing watermelons with your thighs.
Yes.
You just carry around like a backpack full of watermelons.
Yes. That's what you see when you see the soldiers walking around. It's just watermelons.
And then you have to wear a sign that says, "Ask me about my watermelons." And then when they do, you have to crush one.
I'd be like, there. How's that for an answer?
Yeah, exactly. Christine, are you going to Comic-Con?
I'm not going to Comic-Con.
You're not going to Comic-Con.
I'm going the weekend before because my cousin is getting married.
Oh.
But no, she's not getting married over Comic-Con weekend, so I will not be going. Yeah. Probably a good thing, actually, because the venue is downtown-ish, like where there would be thousands of crazy people.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I've never been to Comic-Con, but I hear it is pretty crazy.
Why don't you go?
It is. I've been once before, and it was very smelly.
Yeah, that's what I keep hearing from everyone. It's my first Comic-Con. They're like, the smell is pretty amazing.
Also, bring hand sanitizer.
Bad. Oh, I always do.
And just like, maybe just a can of Febreze. And then just spray as you walk.
Like spray it in people's eyes.
Sure, why not?
Well, that would get the crowd moving. Get out of my way.
Oh my God. That is one of the things that bugs me the most about conventions or just crowded like festivals and stuff. I want people to get out of my way.
Yeah.
Like I want to push people down. Like it makes me violent. I just like want to run around and like clothesline people.
It was amazing. When we were at WonderCon, actually, I was always behind Dan Iverson because he played football and did some wrestling. And so he knew.
He's a big guy.
Yeah, he's a big guy. So people would move out of his way. And it's like, I'm just going to follow Dan.
That's what I always think. I would really like the biotic throw ability from Mass Effect because it would be awesome.
Yeah.
Just like boom. And then everybody just like flies out of your way.
So or that thing in Infamous where
yeah, they do.
With Cole that'd when he like slams everyone with electronic powers
yes,
and they
the
move out
electronic
of the way.
Like wave thing where it just like knocks them over.
Dude, you're kind of mean, you know that?
I just don't like it when people are like, they walk really slow and they're, oh, what's up?
Or they're like dancing in the middle of the pathway and they're all wearing cat ears and foxtails and like they have a boombox and they're all dancing in the pathway and you're just trying to get through because you want to go to the exhibit hall but you can't because they're in the way.
At that point,
it's annoying.
At that point, you have to go, excuse me, Ryan Clement, I'm trying to get through.
Well played.
Sing.
Damn.
Wow, that is pretty amazing. Okay, so we will start the podcast as we normally do with what we're playing. So, Walter, since you're new, why don't you tell us, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself, what you do at IGN, and then what you've been playing?
I like puppies.
Do you crush them?
I do not.
That's good.
Okay.
Nobody should want to crush a puppy.
Stephanie.
That's probably the saddest thing I've ever heard in my life.
That's the most horrible thing I've ever heard.
I never wanted to wish harm upon puppies. There are some people that, like, they're so cute, I want to squeeze it and make it suffer.
Wow.
No, I always want to, like hold its face, but I don't want to, like,
pet it,
crush it to death.
Have a conversation with it.
Yeah.
You can't talk to dogs. But
do you have a puppy?
No, I wish I had.
You did?
Yeah.
All right. Tell us a little bit about what you do at IGN. So everyone
knows. I oversee all the community and social aspects for IGN now, along with Tina and Sam and Janine. We're a team now.
Ooh, okay.
And I'm kind of the community voice for everybody.
Right. And what kind of games do you like to play? I would imagine something army related since you're an army
guy. I like first person shooters like everybody else. I like the competitive nature. I do play Black Ops at night, you know, on Xbox Live and, you know. I open myself up to all those great insults and saying how much I suck and all that good stuff.
Can you just mute people?
But where's the fun in that?
It's all about trash talk.
They're just telling it how it is. Maybe he does suck.
It's true. It could be possible. I've not played with you.
We still need to play together. I haven't been on Xbox Live in a while.
I know. You're like a PlayStation fangirl now.
No,
you got
I am
hooked
not.
By the Stardust.
The Stardust is hooking.
Well, you know, my favorite consoles... Well, consoles were PlayStation and possibly PlayStation 2. So, but I just didn't jump on board the PS3 bandwagon until later on because it was so damn expensive.
Yeah, I didn't get one until the Slim came out. And then I was like, all right, I'll get you now.
I got mine from Circuit City when it was going out of business. And I grabbed the last one and it was like a model one. And I was like, I don't have any left. And my friend Gadge is like, well, what about that model one over there? Go ask what you can get it for. And they're like, $300. And I was like, sold.
Nice.
That was pretty early on.
Was it? Is it backwards compatible?
No.
Oh.
Which is the most really disappointing thing.
Yeah. I used to work for Circuit City.
Yeah?
I like to think I'm responsible for them going out of business.
I'm taking some of the responsibility.
Corporate sabotage?
Because you were terrible at your job?
No, actually really good. I sold computers for them. I was really, really good.
That seems like that would be contributing to the business doing well.
I know, but whatever.
Whatever.
Their business practices were fucking horrible, but I'm not going to get into that. Yeah, so I play first-person shooters. I'm a mainly PC guy, but I have all the consoles and stuff except the Wii, because...
It is for babies.
It's for babies. We'll get to that a little bit later.
Just motion controls just don't do it for me.
Yeah. But there are some games on there that don't require motion controls. Those are good.
Monster Hunter Tri is awesome.
As much as people like to rip on the Wii, it had a really good lineup of games that we haven't seen since, like, say the Nintendo original Nintendo, like Punch Out. Jeez, that was pretty awesome.
Sure,
we're just in silence.
Cool story, bro.
There was Punch Out. There was Kirby, Donkey Kong Country Returns, Zelda. Mario
I didn't like
games.
Country Returns as much as I liked Country. I actually went back and played Country first. And then I played Country Returns, and I was like, oh.
Yeah.
The original feel, it just felt better. Like, the monkeys had more weight to them. I don't know, it's just like, they were really floaty.
Yeah.
And it was kind of throwing me off.
That should be on the box.
The monkeys are really floaty.
Yeah, but I actually really enjoyed Donkey Kong Country Returns. It was really cool. Yeah.
It was all right. I thought the level design was really interesting. Mm-hmm. I just wish it had felt a little bit more like the original in terms of weight on the characters. And I wish that you had been able to switch to Diddy Kong as a single player. Because you can only play as him if you have somebody else with you who's willing to play as Donkey Kong.
Yeah.
Lame. Because every time I would play that game, I would always immediately switch to Diddy Kong and then play with him. And then when I needed the big guy, I would...
So you're against Donkey Kong. That's what you're saying.
He just felt a little bit more cumbersome.
You're biased. That's what you're saying.
And Diddy Kong was a lot... I mean, he had the little awesome cartwheel attack. Which was my favorite. So, I don't know. At first, he was cuter. He was smaller. I felt like he could get to places. It might not be true, but I felt like he was a little bit more agile.
I think he's definitely agile.
Yeah. So.
All right, so Walter doesn't own a Wii, but what have you been playing lately on your consoles or PC?
Oh, Pinboy FX, because I have an ongoing...
You just said Pinboy.
I did too. That's awesome. Pinball.
Oh, FX. Oh, with FX. Yeah, with the roommates, we have an ongoing feud trying to get the high score.
Who's winning?
I am. Ooh. Stardust HD, Super Stardust. I'm trying to catch up to Clements. He has a ridiculous freaking score. I think it's 100. What is it, 129 million?
Oh, for Super Stardust? Yeah.
Yeah, he's got a ridiculous score.
Well, it's got an awesome kind of dance beat thing going for it. So
no, he's really... I mean, he gets in his own. I was watching him play. Dude's fucking really good at it.
Wow.
Let's see. And Black
Don't
Ops.
Drop F-bombs.
Yeah.
Oops.
By the way. Because I don't know how to edit them out. So...
I'm sorry.
Cover your ears, listeners.
Too late.
I know, right? Yeah. Why did they cover them now?
I'll go on timeout later. I'm sorry.
Exactly.
Oopsie. It's okay. We forgot to tell you that in the beginning.
That's okay. What else have you been playing? Anything?
That's about it. It's a lot of work lately.
Oh, I see. All right, Christine, what have you been playing?
I have not been playing any of the games that I should be. I still haven't finished LA Noire. I got bored. I still haven't finished Portal 2. And I still have not finished Infamous 2. But I keep going home and starting my computer and playing The Sims 3.
Nice. Really.
I think I just need a house to decorate, like in real life. Because that's my favorite thing about playing that game. I just built myself a new house.
Yeah, don't they have a new pack out or it's like Home Life or something?
Ambitions, I think, was the latest one, which I have. Yeah, I have most of the packs today. I think there's one I'm still missing, but basically that's what I like to do. I like to like start out and have no money, and then I like to get them super rich, and then I like to just build a giant mansion and put everything in there that I would want in my actual house.
Do you start messing with them when you get bored?
I don't like being mean to my Sims. I like being mean to other Sims.
Okay.
So like I usually have like a couple. And those are my good, quote unquote, good Sims. And then I might add like one or two crazy members of the family that I'll just do stupid shit with. Nice. And maybe sometimes I'll kill them off. But
nice.
I think I've only actually killed one or two.
Okay.
One was on accident as well.
Oh, how did that happen?
Electrocution.
Whoops.
I know. Well, it's sort of because I sped it up, and you know how sometimes they stall. And so I didn't know what was happening. I didn't realize he was being electrocuted, so I immediately made and went him go back to repairing what he was doing, and then so he did, and I couldn't stop him in time. Nice. And then he died. Whoops.
You can destroy them because you created them.
It's true. Mm-hmm. Except when you marry in, and then technically you didn't create them.
Yeah, that's true. Okay, Stephanie, what have you been playing?
Aside from work, which is Zelda Ocarina of Time, I've been playing Super Stardust. I actually just downloaded the Uncharted 3 beta too, so I might start playing that tonight. And Super Street Fighter Arcade Edition. But I haven't been playing as much as I should, and I haven't been practicing as much as I should. So I'm actually still not very good. I think that's about all I've been playing.
Wow, Super Stardust is popular, because I was going to say that's one of my free PSN games that I downloaded.
Yeah.
And I
downloaded it too, but I haven't played it
yet. You haven't played it yet.
It's really addicting.
I'm going to go and say that it's not as addicting as I think everyone else believes it is. For me, it's not that addicting. It's pretty and it's fun, but it's not like Championship Edition DX with Pac-Man, where that I played for hours and hours on end for weeks and weeks. Yeah. And Space Invaders Extreme was really addicting. I have that on PSP and I love that game. And I was like, Super Stardust is one of those games where you'll like it if you like Geometry Wars, mm-hmm. but otherwise I don't quite get the hype.
Well, twin stick shooters in general.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, it's addicting in the aspect of like chasing the high score, and I made this like I had a self-imposed goal of just beating Walter randomly. And so I was working on that for a while. And then once I beat Walter, I was like, you know, now I got to step it up even more and try to beat Ryan. And then that's what I'm working towards.
I've never been one of those people who like has to chase the high score.
Yeah.
No, I just, maybe it's because I know I probably never will.
It's gonna take too much time and effort for me to try and get really good at this game.
Personally, my like high score chasing comes from like arcade days,
right?
Because I remember lining up the quarters and trying to beat that initial at top.
Right. I never went to arcades really. Mostly played games at home, so.
Yeah.
No, I know.
Well, I'm a bit older, so I remember.
You are a bit older. I forget. I always forget that you're older.
Yeah. Those of us who are 30 plus remember arcades pretty well. So that's why I
was a baby.
I played Mortal Kombat in the arcade. Speaking of Mortal Kombat, I tried out the new Mortal Kombat game. And I have to say that if you like the first three Mortal Kombats, you'll definitely like this game.
Absolutely.
But if you are a Soul Calibur fan or Street Fighter fan, you'll probably find Mortal Kombat a little clunky, a little too over the top. I like it personally, but
I don't know if there's like a lot of depth to the Mortal Kombat fighting system, because I know when I'm trying to get into Street Fighter 4, it's so complex. There's so many terms and fighting game jargon that I'm not familiar with. Like, I was talking to my friends, they're like, yeah, you gotta use Bison to learn your footsies, and remember to use focus attacks to cancel technicals and whatever, combo links, and I'm like, I don't know, I'm just gonna go sit in the corner and get in the fetal position.
Yeah, well, Mortal Kombat, it may not be like in-depth, but it's so over the top and silly and violent that it's really enjoyable when you play with other people. But if you're playing like single player mode, there is a balance issue, and it is a little frustrating at times because of the way that the moves queue up and everything. But if you're an old school Mortal Kombat fan, I think you'll enjoy this new one just because it goes back. The story is Raiden goes back in time and warns all the original combatants about their future, which is very bleak and grim. And so you get to start the first three tournaments over again and then change the future, which is kind of stupid, but kind of cool. So I like it. It's fun. What else?
Stupid and cool.
It's stupid and cool at the same time. Don't ask me how Mortal Kombat.
That should be on the box.
It should be on the box.
This game is stupid and cool.
It's so stupid. It's cool.
It's stupid cool.
I would have made the story a musical. Just been more fun.
That would be interesting.
That would actually.
Mortal Kombat the musical?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. With K's everywhere.
Yeah.
And somebody's like singing a really high note and then somebody cuts their head off.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Think about it.
It could work.
Yeah. Somebody make this happen. Okay. What else? Oh, I'm struggling to get through the first Infamous. Has anyone else had problems with that game?
It's paced pretty slowly.
Yep. It's not even
It's difficult to get, because you've got, I think it starts out on that one big island and then there's still two other ones.
Yeah.
And it just, you spend so much time on the first one, and then when you get to the others, I sort of felt like, oh my God. Okay, this game could probably end right now, and I'd be fine with it.
Yeah, I'm having problems with the shooter mechanic though. It seems a little janky. Like use a zoom and the target, and I upgrade my powers constantly. But GDYC no longer applies to Michael Cole from the WWE, and Matt Fowler fans will get that joke.
GDYC. But
GDYC, gosh darn you, Cole. It's actually not gosh darn you. It's an inside wrestling joke. If you read Matt Fowler's IGN wrestling wrap-ups, you'll get the joke. But Cole is just very frustrating and Infamous because all the powers that make him really cool tend to hinder him later on in actual shootouts with like the Reapers or whatever they're called, because I can't hit anything or I can't see everyone I'm supposed to be shooting at.
Why can't you hit everybody?
I don't know, because the shooter mechanics on it are wonky. Like I've talked to other people at the office. Like I talked to Dan the other day and he's like, yeah, the shooter mechanic can be really frustrating.
Like I only got frustrated with it when I was like trying to spidey it and I was hanging off of a building and then trying to shoot with one hand. That was the only time I ever found it to be a little bit odd.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't know. I am really struggling to get through it. And finally I started BioShock last night. Finally, I know I'm like 4 years late to the party, but I never played it before. Nicole really liked it, so I finally decided to get it.
Yeah.
It's fun.
It's awesome, though, right? It looks beautiful.
It looks really nice. It's odd, though, because I'm playing two games that are kind of similar, like Portal 2 and Infamous kind of had parallel similarities. Like, one is about a guy shooting electricity from his arm, and then Portal 2, not to give anything too much away, but when you're going through the history of Aperture Science, it's got that kind of retro feel.
Right.
So it's kind of weird, because they actually, I think they took their cues from BioShock, but because I'm playing BioShock so much later, that it almost feels reversed. So it's kind of odd. It's a really good game. I'm not very far in it so far, but it's just an odd similarity thing where I'm like, I don't know if they took their cues from BioShock or what, or they just happen to be similar, but it's some of the novelty of BioShock isn't there for me because of succeeding games where, I don't know, they took their cues from BioShock, I guess.
I remember in the first like 5 minutes of BioShock where you go down in the submarine pod into
scare actually, the crap out of
actually into yeah, go, going awesome. Into Rapture. I remember staying in that pod for 10 minutes.
I stayed in that pod for almost, yeah.
There was a freaking splicer.
I did not
want to
get
outside.
Out.
And I was like,
well, that was scary. Yeah, that was really scary.
I don't know
really
if I want to step out.
I was
of
like,
this
do I? That's when I sort of thought
net.
To myself, do I want to play this game? Because I'm a scaredy cat. Like, I don't like playing scary games. And so I was just like, I think I sat there for like 10 minutes too. I was just like, do I? Okay, like, I guess I'll just go.
I remember my favorite parts of the game were just. When there was no action, you're just walking down corridors and you just hear noises around.
Oh
you
my
see
God,
shadows
scary.
Flying. That's my favorite part of the game.
Yeah, you hear the enemies coming, which is really cool. Yeah. Like, I can actually hear them coming and I get really nervous.
You just, like turn in circles there. Waiting. Yeah. Like, where are you coming from?
Yeah. Yeah. They're taunting you. They know you're down the
that's
hallway.
Really, yeah, that's awesome. A really cool thing.
I have bees in my hand. Don't come near me.
Yeah, that's pretty awesome. I'm only like 20, 30 minutes into the game, but so far I'm enjoying it. So, we'll see. All right, so that's what we're playing. So on to our topic of the week, which is Nintendo.
Nintendo.
So it seems like Nintendo is kind of taking a brutal beating for the past several weeks. Everyone from Wii U skeptics to supporters of Operation Rainfall, which actually started right here on IGN, have kind of a bone to pick with Nintendo. And then to add insult to injury, a girl gamer, and I hope I pronounced this name right, by the name
of... Can we just say quote-unquote girl gamer?
Girl gamer, quote-unquote.
Because I think that's a stupid term.
Yeah, it is a stupid term. By the name... Well, I think that's what she calls herself, but
well,
whatever.
Well, she... Yeah.
Marielle Ellie, I'm not sure if I'm pronouncing that right, claims that the Wii and 3DS aren't actual game consoles. They're just toys and belong in the toy aisle. And I'll read a short paragraph. From her article, any true gamer will agree that Nintendo belongs in the toy aisle, right there between the remote control cars and the sit and spins. 3DS, DS, Wii, and even Wii U are trying to appeal to an audience that is significantly broader than any other gaming console's audience. In a way, it can be said that this tactic is merely a pathetic attempt to regain recognition and increase their net worth while finding a loophole around having to actually compete directly against real gaming consoles such as Microsoft, Xbox, Xbox 360, PlayStation 2, PlayStation 3. This is my favorite part of the quote. PlayStation 4,
yeah.
Et cetera.
She's from so the like, future.
She's from the future.
So it's interesting, by the way, she doesn't mention PC as a gaming console, which I think is a...
Well, it's not a console.
Well, it's not a console, but
it's a platform.
So my question is, does she have a point? Are Nintendo products like the DS and Wii, are they more toys than serious gaming consoles?
I think we can all say she has no point whatsoever.
Nope.
And she also sounds like a complete moron. No offense to you, young lady, whoever you are. But, I mean, it just, this article sounds like she's trolling. And I honestly, you know, part of me doesn't even really want to talk about it too much because it's like feeding the trolls, but...
Maybe
she clearly doesn't know what she's talking about.
Right. I just feel like she's a little bit uninformed. And I think she said that like it's a pathetic attempt to get around direct competition with Microsoft and Sony, which I think is actually a smart business tactic. And I think Nintendo actually does us a good like, in the game industry and video gamers in general a favor by, you know, providing something, a unique experience, not just the same old PlayStation 3 versus Xbox, which are identical in some respects.
We give the Wii a lot of crap around here. I mean, but at the same time, I don't think any of us would ever be like, stick it in the toy aisle, you know, or...
I think anytime, like, anyone...
Do you have the actual article?
I don't have the entire article, but I have a few choice quotes from...
There's one part in here that... made me laugh and made me real.
Besides the PlayStation 4?
That was my favorite part, but it was...
Yeah, and she goes on to say that, you know, like, Wii games don't count, like, people who play the Wii don't deserve to walk, you know, alongside people who play like Bayonetta and Call of Duty.
And God of War. It's just sort of... That sentence to me is just so weird. Walking amongst people, like, and you're like... What are you talking about?
She just seems very uninformed and try to cater to like a very specific male audience.
Yeah. So people go, oh my God, a girl who plays games, drool. But it's something you didn't clip it out here, but the Wii games she listed were like Family Feud and Hello Kitty and like all these. And I'm like, really? Nothing about Super Mario Galaxy or Donkey Kong Country or, yeah, you know, Metro, any of these other
Twilight
games.
You
know, there's so many other games that
are actually
are
pretty
legitimate.
Hardcore.
Yeah. I mean, not legitimate, but you know, not like carnival games. So I just thought that was really.
I will say that
telling
anytime,
that she obviously does not know much about the Wii at all, really.
Mm-hmm. I will say that anytime, like, I don't like it when Nintendo gets a free pass just because it's Nintendo. Like at conferences, they say, "Oh, by the way, Smash Bros. Is being announced." Everyone flipped the fuck out. Oh, damn it!
Stop doing that.
I'm sorry. Everyone flipped out,
beep.
And they're like, I know.
Flip the bleep out.
Yep.
And they get like a free pass, and I honestly don't think anyone should get a free pass whatsoever, no matter how much of a bias you have for a certain franchise or another. And I think that is a good thing to question, just to be like, this whole Operation Rainfall, I think that's a great thing for these, for the fans to stand up and tell Nintendo, we want this, make it happen.
Right.
You know? Of course, it said no, but still.
Right.
Yeah. Well, besides, I'm sorry, to explain what Operation Rainfall is, actually, that started on IGN, and it is an attempt by North American Nintendo fans to get Wii games like Pandora's Tower, Last Story, Xenoblade published over here. And it's a huge campaign. It really took off. And Nintendo recently said, no, we don't think so. So now even Nintendo fans are kind of wailing on Nintendo, but Nintendo seems to be picked on by everyone lately. And my question is, do they really deserve that? Is everyone just being unfair and jumping the gun? Does Nintendo have a good reason, do you think, for not bringing over these games and not, you know, pushing sales of the Wii more and more strongly?
I feel like they're doing it because they already announced the Wii U. I mean, I don't know. Now maybe they're trying to put their focus on that and not so much the Wii anymore.
Sure, but Wii U isn't coming out for like a year.
It's not, and so that's why it's a little bit weird. It's sort of, I know Rich sort of, I think he wrote an article about this saying how he feels that the Wii's a little bit, it's being abandoned, perhaps too early, because there's really nothing coming out for it besides Zelda, and I think
Kirby,
that new Kirby game.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Those are the only two holiday things that I can think of.
Yeah, so, I mean, there's...
I mean, the sales numbers already, since E3, the sales numbers for the Wii have dropped significantly.
I feel like maybe they announced it too early.
Yeah. And,
the Wii U.
And like,
maybe you should have held on to that a little bit longer.
I think there's an article on the site right now asking how they felt about the drop-off. And they're saying that we very much have not abandoned the Wii. You know, the typical PR spill. But, you know, stuff like this just doesn't make any sense. Because it does feel that way. It feels like, let's start focusing on trying to fix how badly we announced the Wii U. And see, bring that around and bring publishers around.
And be people and get people interested in that so that when that launches, it becomes just as much of a success.
Yeah. But you already have like Gearbox, like co-founder, I forgot his name. He was already had an article this morning too saying he feels that the Wii U is stopgap?
Half step or
half
or hard,
step.
Yeah, something.
It's not like a full generation gap. It's just like just enough to like, you know, bridge the next big wave of consoles. That's what the Wii U feels like to him. So that's already like very alarming for the people who are like have like very excited for it. They're like, well, wait a minute. Sounds like a Dreamcast all over again.
Does anybody remember when the Wii was announced? Did Nintendo's stock drop as drastically as it did when the Wii U was?
Yes.
Did it?
I don't thought.
Yeah, I think it was just like a 2 to 5% drop.
Didn't it drop like 20% this time?
I think it was 5%.
Oh, really? I thought it was like really. For some
5%
reason,
is actually
big.
Astronomical.
Still, I thought it was more. Drop. I thought it was at least double digits.
It was a bigger deal back then because they were already like not doing well at all. Remember? And this time they're like, they have that gap.
They have the cushion
of
all their Wii money.
Like, it's 5%.
You know? Exactly.
Yeah.
But it seems like they also are neglecting the 3DS a little bit. I mean, every console launch or any launch is always a little weak in terms of lineup, but it feels like, I know a lot of people, including myself, I haven't bought a 3DS yet because I just don't have any reason to. Just because you add 3D to old games doesn't mean I'm going to rush out and buy them.
So, I don't even like using the 3D on it is my problem. Really? At first, when I saw it at E3, I was like, holy crap.
It's impressive the first time
you
see it.
Yeah.
And then when we got some in the office and I started playing, I was like, ow, This hurts my brain. And just because I actually move handhelds more than I thought I did. And so when you're moving it around, it really does screw you up. Well, just because, like, I'll put it down or, whatever. I don't generally just sit and play, which I guess most people do. I don't know.
No, no way. When you play your console, I'm, like, halfway there and, like, leaning back in the couch and foot up.
I'm a handheld. Because the whole idea was, the 3D would work with a handheld because you're supposed to be holding it in the same spot. And then, therefore, you're not going to
It's the same thing, though. When you're playing a game, you start relaxing. And same with the handheld. You start relaxing. You try to get comfortable with it. Yeah. You do that with a 3DS, and you shift it, and it doesn't...
And then your eyes go, ow!
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's why I usually just turn it off.
Oh, okay. Yeah. But what about... What about games that require, like, kind of require it? Like
I don't think any of them do.
Yeah, no games require
3D. They can't require 3D.
No. I thought there was one, though, that came out.
Things can be theoretically better. Yeah, they can be enhanced by it, but they can't be sole 3D.
Sure. But do you play your 3DS now?
I don't have a 3DS. I just played the office.
Oh, you just played it at the office. Do any of you own a
3DS? I don't own a 3DS, but I'm just playing Zelda. I don't even have the 3D turned on at all, and the battery life on it is not very impressive. Is all I can say because I have to play four hours. I'm not saying I have to play, but that's generally how much I play on it, and then
it dies.
And then it dies, and then I have to keep recharging.
That's interesting because my normal DS actually goes for a pretty long time.
And the regular DS sometimes. Is a beast.
Yeah, it's amazing.
But in regards to the Operation Rainfall, I think Nintendo is catching a lot of flack it's uncalled for, I think, because like. People are demanding three really niche games, and these are Japanese RPGs, which I'm sure are phenomenal, but from a business standpoint, Nintendo just doesn't see a benefit from publishing these games.
But at the same time, they're doing it in Europe, so they're already basically localizing it enough. And they could just toss it on so people could download it. Although it's the Wii, so you need a really big memory stick.
They could have handled it better than like, elaborated more on why, just to appease.
Well,
the
you have to see it from the fans' perspective, right? Mm-hmm. They take in everything Nintendo gives them without questioning anything. The one request they have, they get told no, without unconditionally to say no. So they feel like, hey, we've been loyal freaking consumers, and you won't even do this for us. That's kind of like that's how it feels now with the whole forums. They're all like pissed.
I do see Stephanie's point though. I mean, just because you ask a company to do something for you doesn't mean that they should automatically say yes.
Yes.
I mean, so you're saying like they would want to take that hit in publishing money just for how many people? I don't know, I guess how many people did sign that waiver? I'm not really sure.
A couple thousand.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's not, but then again, this is a company that comes out with a lot of shovelware anyway, sometimes.
I guess the only real problem is it's region locked, correct? So somebody couldn't just get the UK version and play it.
Yeah.
So, I mean, if they just even made them unregion locked somehow, that would be a good step.
Yeah. It is bizarre that things like, I think Xenoblade is coming out in Europe and that's really exciting for them, but it's like, why not just, I mean, if you're going to localize it in English, even if they have British accents, why not just go ahead and toss it our way as well? I'm not sure what the cost benefit of it is, but it just seems like Nintendo fans are fiercely loyal and they're not asking for a ton of stuff, but even just localizing one of those games, I think would appease people and make them happy and just let them know that their voice has been heard.
But remember in the past, like sometimes we would get games in America, we would get games that never see the light of day in Europe. And I don't see like the Europeans like having an uprising over it. It's just,
I think it's just people feeling entitled.
Yeah. We definitely have a huge sense of entitlement, and I think that's kind of a problem.
Well, I don't know. I don't necessarily agree that just because people are like, hey, Pandora's Tower looks really cool and Xenoblade looks really cool, I'm willing to give you my money. Shut up and take my money. And people are trying to signal that with pre-orders on Amazon. I'm not really sure. I mean, I think like you said,
but you also don't know how many, and you don't know the costs.
Yeah, I don't know if those pre-orders will offset the cost of localizing
I think
we have no idea.
Localizing is not the issue. I would say just publishing and whether or not the retailers would even buy it.
Right, but I think something, I forget, it was you or Walter said that if you could just elaborate, if Nintendo could elaborate a little more as opposed
to... Sure, they could have been a little bit more...
Plus, like, if Nintendo did release these games in America without this kind of publicity, would people actually go out and buy it? That's the problem. Yeah. That's actually another question people should ask too.
Sure, but considering that they're kind of abandoning the Wii a little bit early, it would just be nice. I am a huge RPG fan. I'm a huge JRPG mm-hmm. fan. I would like to see these games come over.
All you need to do is buy a UK Wii and then a UK version of the game.
That's not troublesome.
Yeah, exactly. They should just bundle it. At this point, they're trying to move Wiis anyway, right? Yeah. So just include it for free. Buy the game and you get a free UK Wii. Yeah.
Yeah, get bundles
there. You go, Nintendo. I just created your plan for you.
Yeah,
that way you can still say the Wii's selling like hotcakes.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I understand that most people already who were going to buy a Wii have already bought it, but it's just one of those things where I was kind of hoping that you would continue to throw quality games at us instead of being like, "All right, Wii U is coming up next year, so we're done with the Wii."
And I'm
like,
"Well, they do sort of need to figure that shit out."
Yeah, they do. I know that. I know Skyward Sword is coming out and Kirby is coming out, but that's not enough.
For the record, I'm sick and tired of JRPGs anyway, so no loss for me.
Well, do you even like JRPGs in the first place?
Yes.
Oh, you do?
Yes. I'm just sick and I mean, they have not updated the formulas, and that's why Final Fantasy.
That's why people like them. Ugh. Well, some people.
Some people. That's still become more niche than ever.
But that's a whole other topic you guys can have in a show on how the. You know, Japanese developers refuse to adapt, and they're probably killing themselves that way anyway.
I don't know. They're still pretty successful in Japan, though. I mean, things like Monster Hunter and certain JRPGs still sell like crazy.
They might not go out of business from it, but they'll certainly have to reduce their size.
Yes, because they're losing market space share, whatever you want to call it. They're losing it drastically. At E3, it was more evident. You walk by the square booth, and it's just kind of like, I'm walking around with the nominations and they're just looking at me like, is that for us? But like, nope.
Sorry.
Yeah, Square Enix is a whole issue within itself, but that is for another show.
Squeenix.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, so any other thoughts?
I'm wondering what your guys' thoughts. Do you think the Wii U will be as successful as the Wii?
It's too early to say.
Look, everyone here did, you weren't at E3, right?
No, I was not actually at
E3. You weren't at E3. Okay. You tried a new controller out, right?
I did.
What do you think? First thought that comes to head to your mind.
Don't want it.
Exactly. Same here.
Do not want.
Same here.
I mean,
I can't see myself putting money
down. The only
down
thing
that
I thought was really cool was, well, not even really cool, but it was sort of cool, was Chase Me. Mm-hmm. So I thought, I mean, it was an interesting concept where everybody else, or three people, can see what's happening on the screen, but you, the person that's being chased, will look at the screen on the controller. So they can't see where you are, and you're trying to basically, it's like hide and go seek. But that's the only thing I can see working really well with like ports of board games and things like that. And is that worth however much that controller is going to cost?
I think the key here is
how much does it cost?
Yeah, how much is going to cost? Like, and the key for Nintendo to be successful is to have a low price of entry, like the Wii was.
Yeah,
right. And they already kind of shuffled around it, but they kind of confirmed it'll cost at least as much as the Wii, if not more, because of the technology involved.
The controller does look like it'll be expensive.
Yeah, it also wasn't there. It was Battle Me was the other one, and I freaking hated that demo.
Yeah,
it was. Because the point there was sort of similar concept. The other people can only see what's on the TV screen and you're seeing what's on your screen. But you have to aim it by pretending to aim like you would in real life. Like, it's hard to explain. So if one of the guys on the other screen is like in the upper left corner, you have to like move it to your controller to the upper left corner before you can actually like target them.
Yeah,
it was. Nobody wants to turn around in circles like in their living room, trying to figure out where this person is. Like, I died immediately just because I couldn't use the controller well enough to have even a fighting chance at getting these other people.
Do you think that's just because it's an early build? Or you think that it's just gonna the way the game is set up?
It's just
it's gonna be the problem. Game was set.
It's just the controller itself in your hand just doesn't feel natural. Everything about it, the buttons in the back, the triggers don't feel like the triggers we're used to. They feel like actual buttons. Huh. And the analog stick is just not an analog stick.
It's straight up a terrible controller for first-person shooters, specifically. Yeah.
For what they're pitching at the hardcore, it doesn't make sense to actually get your hands on a controller. It's like, no, this doesn't feel like an instrument that's going to connect.
The triggers are also
it.
Really low compared to where the
buttons
bumpers would be. Huh. So, you know, it's kind of moving them back and forth might be a pain in the ass.
Yeah, I mean, the moment...
Also, No, sorry. I'm just like looking at it, right? Like an Xbox or a PS2 controller, and then you put it next to the Wii U. Like it's flipped, so the analog sticks are up top.
Yeah.
The buttons are at the bottom. So I mean, I feel like it's just going to take some getting used to, but it'll be really interesting to see how quote unquote normal games like Batman will play.
It's kind of funny. Remember all the flack that Microsoft got when they first unveiled the Xbox and how gigantic the controller was?
Oh my God, that controller was huge. Was like I could barely play. I was also very young, so I had very small hands. And I remember I would only be able to play my original Xbox for like 30 minutes because my hands would just hurt.
And then trying to find the what is it, white and black buttons? You're like,
yeah.
It was like shifting a car. It was like, yeah.
Yeah, that was not a very well thought out controller.
Pintail of controllers.
Yeah.
Yeah, but bottom line is Nintendo needs to find that sweet spot for the price, like probably between $250 and $300, and have a compelling like launch game.
Or my launch only concern lineup. Is that the Wii appealed to so like people that are not gamers, like my parents. My mother hates video games. So the fact is, she's not going to buy a Wii U. There's no doubt about it. She's like, I've got this Wii. I don't use it. Why would I buy something else? And I feel like there's a lot of other people out there who bought the Wii because they thought it was cool. You know, they saw it at somebody else's party or something. They bought one.
It was an Oprah.
Then they don't use it. Yeah, and they saw an Oprah,
right,
sure.
Yeah.
And those people aren't going to be investing. I don't see them investing in the Wii U. I just don't.
Yeah. Do you think it's too complex? Like, it seems like Wii's whole appeal is not only is it family friendly, but it's even kind of easy to use. You just waggle your Wiimo back
right.
and forth.
Even that was really hard to convince my mother of. Like, she's terrified of looking stupid. So it was, you know, it was something like, come on, just pretend like you're bowling. And so now, you know, showing her this controller, I think she'd be like, what is that?
Yeah.
That looks even scarier than an Xbox or a PS3 controller.
It does look intimidating, a little bit intimidating, especially if you're not really a gamer and you're like, I don't, these extra, slight extra steps are, you know, the screen, and then you have to put the controller a certain way, or this button goes here. With the Wiimote, it's pretty simple.
So it'll be really interesting to see how they market it and whether or not those people who bought the Wii that aren't really gamers, the casuals, will they invest or are they just going to skip it?
I don't know. We'll have to see.
Can we fast forward time? Because I'm really curious.
I wish. That'd be cool.
And then we'll just see it and we'll be like, all right, rewind.
Yep.
Like, I told you so. It's failed.
Yeah.
In your face.
Walter predicts failure.
Yeah. I don't predict failure. I just don't think it's going to be
gonna
nearly
fail.
As well.
I'm
it's
because
the install
in
base is way too freaking large for it to just all out fail. But I think a lot of people are going to be taken back by the finished product, you know. I'm sure they'll change it before we see it again in E3 next year.
Probably.
I mean, and they still haven't even actually talked about the actual console itself. A lot of people assume the controller is the console and that's all you need. And that's not the case.
That's not the case.
Yeah, Nintendo really dropped the ball with their announcement because that was really, they didn't have any pictures of the actual console. They just had the controller. So we're like, so is it a giant Nintendo DS / iPad? What is it?
Even developers don't have final specs.
Yeah.
Nintendo keeps telling them, yeah, something in that window.
Something in that range. Sure, go.
Yeah. You know, they really don't know yet. I mean, it's a mess. It's a cluster blank. You know?
Yes.
Charlie Fox.
Cluster blank.
It's a Charlie Fox. Good job, Walter. You censored yourself.
There you go.
That was pretty awesome. So what do you guys think, listeners? Go ahead and email us at igngirlfight@gmail.com and let us know. Is the Wii and DS for babies? Does it belong in the toy aisle? And does Nintendo deserve the flack that it is getting? And hey, is the Wii U going to be a success or not?
I want an actual baby to email us.
That would be amazing.
Like those E-Tray
commercials, yeah.
Yeah, those genius babies.
What do you think, baby?
Yeah, exactly.
Anyways.
All right, awesome. Okay, so on to questions. As usual, if you have any questions or comments, again, you can email us at igngirlfight@gmail.com. And exciting news, we have a call-in option that is coming up on podcasts, so hopefully one day we'll be able to announce that you'll be able to
leave us a voicemail
and tell us what you think. It's very exciting
technology.
Yeah, we're so excited. We even have a new setup, so we have like new mics, new headsets,
new computer,
which is really nice. No more crashing episodes, no more lost episodes like the one that Neha was on the first time she was on. Oh man, it was such a good episode, and then it went away. We were all sad.
And the computer ate it.
Yeah, the computer ate it. That was bogus. Anyways, so on to questions. So this first question is from Louis Remy. I hope I'm pronouncing that right. I was hoping that Naomi would be on the podcast today, but she was very busy. So, hey.
I'll answer for her.
Yes, exactly. Hey, I know a lot of you are in love with RPGs like Mass Effect and Dragon Age, so I was wondering, are you excited about Skyrim? P.S. for Naomi, go Habs go. I have no idea what that means.
I'm assuming it's something from Montreal.
For Naomi right now. How dare you? There.
Okay. Sure. Okay. Are we excited about Skyrim? I am.
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
I would say so.
Hell yeah.
I will not be sword fighting in this one.
I am nodding.
Hell yeah.
Stephanie is nodding. Yeah. I'm very excited. I only recently, thanks to BioWare, got into Western RPGs, but I have heard a lot of good things about Elder Scrolls. So I'm very curious.
There are lots of dragons.
Did you say BioWare just recently got into Western RPGs?
No, he got her into Western RPGs. She was more of a JRPG fan before.
Yeah, the first Western RPG I ever played was actually Dragon Age. Mm. So after Dragon Age, I played Mass Effect. After that, I played Dragon Age 2 and so forth. And everyone's like, have you ever played Elder Scrolls? And I was like, no. And they're like, you've got to go play it.
Yeah, it's
so
amazing. Awesome.
Yeah, so, all right. So big yes, we are all excited about Skyrim. Tim writes in, greetings, ladies. I've been listening for around 2 months now. I wanted to know, why is it that the other podcasts have their own email at IGN.com domain and you lovely ladies have an email at gmail.com?
Our conception was not entirely legitimate.
Yeah. We lobbied for a legitimate podcast and
I don't know.
We were told there were too many podcasts on IGN and so Nicole was like, fine, we'll just do this on our own. So that's exactly what we did. So we set up our own Gmail account and we started recording on our own time, and that's how IGN Girl Fight actually got started. We're kind of the original rebels here at IGN.
I don't know that we were actually told we couldn't do it. They were just taking a while, so we just decided to start doing it.
Little known fact, the first one was recorded with generators.
Yep. That's true.
In generators. A bunker.
Exactly.
In a bunker.
With a microwave and potatoes.
It was pretty epic.
Yeah.
I heard rumors of this spread all over the internet.
It's true. Now you know. Now it's been confirmed.
We MacGyvered it. Well, actually, not me, but they MacGyvered it.
It was pretty awesome. So that is why we have a Gmail account as opposed to an IGN.com account. So Jonathan C. writes, last week a guy asked about books, so I was wondering if any of you have ever read the Belgariad, which is a fantasy epic, and the other books in that series by David Eddings and his wife. I have not.
I have not either.
I've heard of it, but I never got around to it. Because I read all that Wheel of Time stuff, too. I like all those high fantasy books.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Have you read Game of Thrones and the whole...
I'm in the middle of it right now.
Oh, are you?
What is it actually called again? It's not called Game of Thrones. It's called...
A Song of Ice and Fire.
The first one's called Game of Thrones, and then they changed Fire Nights or
something.
That's the name of the series. Mm-hmm. All right, so nobody has, but it has been, I guess it's pretty famous. I've never even heard of it, but I will actually look into it because it sounds interesting. I Googled it before the show, and it actually is pretty interesting sounding. So, let's see.
My one thing, if you're going to write it about books, please tell us a little bit more about them.
Yeah, because we...
Like, just instead of, have you ever heard of this or read this? Because if we haven't, then we have nothing else to
go on. Else to contribute. Yeah, like I said, I had to Google it, and I was like, I don't even know what that is. And I was like, oh, it's some sort of fantasy epic. It's like a 5-book fantasy epic.
Yeah.
And I guess our readers know that we like fantasy books. Like,
don't include the ending. I did that on my blog once, and someone's like, oh, you got to read this book. The ending was this, this, and this. I was like, well, I don't want to read it.
Don't give us the entire plot. Just, you know,
yeah,
it's got elves and...
Yeah.
Monkeys.
Monkeys?
I don't know.
Monkey elves. Think about it.
Oh, God. Wow. That'd be the most scary thing
ever.
That's
the next Ape Escape. Monkey elves.
Monkey elves. That'll be the expansion.
Do you guys ever read books by reading the beginning and the end, and then finding out what happens in the beginning and the end, and then reading the middle to find out why
it actually happened? It's called adventure books, and that's called cheating.
No, I know some people who read like that, and it's strange.
I almost did that with the Hunger Games trilogy that I just read. I was reading on my Kindle, and I didn't feel like fast-forwarding on my book that much. So I just actually asked Nicole. I was like, because it was just too much stress for me. I was like, I need to know who lives and who dies. Just tell me that. And then that way I can get on with it, and I can enjoy the book without, like, constantly panicking about somebody's going to be killed around the corner.
I think that's the fine of George R. R. Martin books, though. I have no idea who's going to live and who's going to die. It's always a surprise where I'm like, oh, my God,
I don't think he knows, to be honest with you.
She's like, well, kill this guy off today.
He wakes up and he's like, yeah, I'm going to kill this person.
Roll the dice.
Yeah.
I woke up in a bad mood, so this guy's dying today.
Yeah. However it works well.
Yeah.
All right, let's see. Greg O from Houston, Texas writes, my favorite episode. This is about their favorite memories of Nicole and Dana. And they were saying that you know what? I'm going to skip this question because this is really confusing. Never mind. I don't know why I printed it out. I'll get back to you, Greg O, I promise. All right. I'm going to go on to TuxedoCats@gmail.com, actually.
Oh.
He says TuxedoCats. That's actually a pretty cool name.
That's a classy cat.
That is. That is a classy cat. He says, hey, women of Girl Fight, you asked for suggestions on new segments, and after hearing some of your, how some of you loved your voice acting, I thought a Girl Fight theater would be funny. Maybe you can voice a scene from different games that are looked at as mostly male-centric, like Shadows of the Damned and Duke Nukem.
That actually might be kind of fun.
That might be interesting.
You're just printing out scripts of games, if we could get them somehow, and then just reading segments.
Yeah, that's something to think about. What do you think, Stephanie?
Sure.
She's like, I don't care.
Sure. Whatever. All right. So this next one is from Felix. Felix says, hi, girls. I'm a gamer from Nicaragua, Central America, and I'm a very big fan of your show. Since I started to learn English a few months ago, I don't miss any of your podcasts. I think that it's very sweet. It's a very sweet way of practicing my listening skills. Finally, it would be great if you girls could send me some greetings in your program. So right now, Felix, we are giving you a shout out. Hi, Felix.
Hello.
Hey, Nicaragua.
Felix.
Yes,
hola,
thank you for...
¿Cómo estás?
That's my home country. I was born there.
Yeah?
Were you really?
Yeah.
Wow.
You should say something that only he would understand.
Yes,
say something
in Spanish.
Well, not in, just in Spanish. Maybe
like an inside joke.
That's how you only understand if I said it in Spanish.
Well, like point out a landmark there.
I don't know. I was really young. I never
prove
been
it. Prove it. Prove that you're from there.
Fine. Look at this tattoo.
They branded it into me when I was born.
Okay, so Victor L. says, I recently played L.A. Noire, laughably the most overrated game of all time. Wow, ouch. What are some of your most overrated games?
I'm picturing him laughing and saying overrated game of all time.
Yeah, that's sort of a weird way to describe it. Although I sort of agree. I just got really bored.
The pacing is different. Like it has, like I said, it has the emphasis on combat, which, you know, a lot of people really
the
like.
The wrong emphasis on the wrong syllable.
The what?
Have you not? You guys said, okay.
That went right over my head.
Really?
Okay. Oh, I get it.
Yeah, okay. From a movie.
But I have to respect them for the sheer audacity of them doing that, you know? It's a completely different kind of design. And I think it's just a very differently paced game.
I don't think it was that it didn't have enough combat for me. I think it was that every mission seemed to, in the beginning at least, structured very similarly.
Mm-hmm.
So then you're like, okay, I'm literally doing the same thing.
I feel like
over
the gameplay elements and the story kind of like played off each other like very synergistically. Like the gameplay, the investigating, finding clues like really drove the story onward. And then the story kind of motivated you to find more clues and investigate. So it was kind of that dynamic that I thought was really cool.
I totally saw it coming. When I saw the previews and played at PAX, I was like, people are not going to get this game.
And
the backlash is going to be pretty epic.
I didn't hate it. I just got bored.
I like
adventure games, and I like doing, you know, finding random stuff and trying to figure out how to use it. But I don't know. I think it was just... I guess semi-spoiler alert, I don't know, just when everybody started running away and you're like, every freaking person runs, I was like, no, this is not realistic. Nobody would do this.
Yeah, that's it was kind of funny.
That's the only thing that really took me out of it.
Have you seen cops? People run.
They cannot
not
shimmy
well
up pipes.
Yeah, they can.
That's true.
They're freaking drunk on cops. So, like, they would not be able to tie their shoes,
true,
let alone climb up a pipe.
So yeah, they're not done. They stumble around in the middle of the street on cops. That's what they do.
The lesson we learned from L.A. Noire is that everyone in 1947 L.A. are freaking athletic.
Yes.
They apparently take classes on how to shimmy up pipes.
Right.
And yeah, I was going to say, running and jumping like between buildings. Good Lord.
Yeah, that's pretty amazing.
But
what other
I'm
games
sure
are...
I'll go back to it. I just haven't like had that desire.
Yeah.
What other games are overrated?
Overrated?
Yeah.
Let's just keep making that noise.
Yeah,
I'm going to say this, I'm going to make a lot of enemies, but I kind of felt like Super Mario Galaxy 2 was a little overrated for me. Like, I got bored halfway through, and I couldn't tell you why, but everyone's like, oh, it's the most amazing game, it deserves a 10, and it's amazing, and great. And I'm like, I'm playing it, but I...
The problem is it's always just a matter of opinion. Like, you can't...
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know.
It's, right. It's hard to be like, well, like, this game didn't deserve this, because there was just one person thinking that it deserved it, and maybe they actually had a really good time with it, like, so...
The Duke Nukem franchise is overrated. It should die. It should never come back, in my opinion. It's stupid.
That's how I really feel after.
But people bought it. People defend like it.
Yeah.
You know? So it's all a matter of opinion.
Yep. I would agree with that. Okay. I don't know how we're doing on time here.
I don't know.
12:06.
Yeah.
I don't know when we started. Okay. Though. I think we have time for one more question. Ross H. wants to know, what do you guys think of the game Catherine? I personally think it looks like an amazingly, terrifically awesome game and could even possibly help save the Japanese gaming industry. I might disagree with the last part of the statement.
Yeah, I don't know about it will single-handedly save the Japanese gaming industry.
I just pictured him turning into like an anime person. It's the greatest thing of all time. Blah, 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 blah.
You like doing that a lot, Walter.
I think it does look really cool, though. I want to play it. That's actually one of the few games that I'm excited to play, just because it looks really different.
It's really quirky, and, you know, it just actually kind of fits most Japanese games, and I don't agree with that statement that it will save Japanese games. But we'll see. We'll see what the reception is, because... I think generally in IGN here, we're all pretty excited for it.
Sure.
Walter. I think what will save Japanese games is when they finally add dialogue trees and real consequences to all those dating sims.
Real consequences.
That's what's going to save Japanese
games.
Like
some chick actually comes to your house and just beats you up if you're a dick.
Or you get herpes.
Whoa. Whoa, how would they do that?
I don't know, but I'm sure the Wii would
invest in that technology.
It's like an RPG status.
I'm sure there's something you can waggle at the screen that will make that happen.
Wow. It is. It's like an RPG status effect. You know, when you're poisoned, but you know.
You get STDs.
You have herpes.
Instead.
Yeah. This will never go away.
It's the third day of the month. It's flaring.
Oh, my God.
Wow. I can't believe you actually said that.
This is why we don't have boys on.
This is exactly. High fives all around. I don't know about that.
Stephanie, yeah? No?
No, not for the herpes joke.
Sorry, Walter. No high five for me either.
It's okay, Walter.
Well, you're too far away. I don't even think that would be physically possible.
Yeah, but it's a convenient excuse to
this is a big table.
It is
a big oval table.
Okay, well, with that, I guess we'll wrap up this episode. Again, you can send your comments and questions to IGNGirlFight@gmail.com, or you can comment on IGN itself when the episode goes up. And we will see you next week.